Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 3rd. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Good morning.
Good morning. it's still early. I'm thinking it's probably going to be, it's beautiful weather, so.
Yeah, it's nice weather. No, it was the trepidation in your voice.
I can't tell you how every day is a new adventure.
Yeah. And maybe that's the way we need to treat it. Okay, Winston, hit us with a quiz.
Ragtime. How did we come to call syncopated music ragtime? I'm pretty sure I
right, ragtime. Yeah, the piano,
butchered that.
The late 1890s?
Yeah, yes.
The rags? I'm going to guess that it had to do with the piano player and that they didn't tend to be from the highest economic strata, and they would have rags, and that's how they would wipe down their foreheads and their heads because of the pace of playing, that they would break into a sweat. What do you think, Virginia? You got a thought?
I think it comes from a time probably where people didn't have a lot of money, and they went out to, went out in the clothes that were kind of like rags, so to speak.
Oh, okay, a wardrobe of the patrons. All right. Either of them close?
Or both.
You get A's for creativity, but no. The term ragtime originally meant haphazard, careless, and happy-go-lucky. It was applied to an army under loose discipline, as opposed to one that was made to keep step. Ragtime music is equally happy-go-lucky and careless of the music as written.
Right, a lot of the vamping, particularly in coming off of the concerts and the stuff like Beethoven and Haydn and Mozart did. It's a little bit different. Syncopation. Yes. How's that? That's our dollar word for today. Syncopation.
Oh. That one I can probably understand better.
Yes.
It's music, but not right now.
So if I had had the ability and shown up to your meeting yesterday, what would have been the one takeaway from the supervisor's meeting?
Well, first, good news. You can be at any one of our meetings now because we are available through the
No. If I can't be in the back row making faces at you guys, it doesn't count as attending the meeting.
Well, nobody's in the back row. Courthouse is still pretty close, So I do know that, Rex and I were both in. At one point, my computer died, so I had to be in his office and had my mask on. But what would be the one takeaway from yesterday? I think the one takeaway is, even though things seem closed, kind of up in town, county government and probably city is as busy as ever, dealing with not just COVID-19, but our budgets. There's not a lack of things to be working on, put it that way. So,
I would think that it might almost be an opportunity to peel back some of the optional activities that go on, and you can kind of really see what the base level of responsibilities and actions of the job is, rather than going to this meeting and that meeting. Maybe there are more efficient ways to do it, and you can really kind of boil it back, roll it back a little bit to what it was rather than maybe what the position has evolved into over the last 20 to 50 years.
Yeah, I'd love to say that you hit that definition right on the head, but it's kind of like the, decide what does that phrase mean. I'm almost feeling like with the advent of Zoom becoming so popular and, for some of the very same meetings you've been meeting and all the time continue, but there's even more. I mean, we were talking yesterday that you really need to be, we were there 8 hours again yesterday, and then you've got this point of view that, we need to be all this because we owe the people. And it's like, no, actually, you can't get any work, for your constituents done during meetings necessarily when you're just, a lot of it is there's a lot of talk. But it seems that Zoom is almost harder. We were talking about how you can easily have an 8-hour Zoom day outside of the office now. And so I think for us, it's going to be learning how to peel back what it is that we really need to be at. Because right now we have And we have extra, but we have extra meetings because of the COVID. Obviously, we have, you know, there's multiple calls during the week. I have mine with the state association. You know, we've got the governor's office. You've got the health officer. You've got just, there's still so much information and so much changing. So maybe when, you know, things kind of do come back to whatever the normal might look like, you know, hopefully we can start thinking what is, you know, in a more efficient way to do things. Because, well, you know, all I need for like an hour. The thing, you know, that I usually put on my clock or my calendar to meet with people, it's like, you know, on Zoom, it's not like you're sitting around and having coffee together, which I miss. I miss getting to know the person I'm talking to before just leaping into whatever the issue or concern is. But, you know, there must be a way we can take this and try to revamp it. That I'm not so confident that it's going to really lessen the load. I think it's just going to change how we approach it. And it's going to be up to us to figure out. Look at Supervisor phone. We all know his car's. He got a new truck in case anyone hasn't figured it out yet. So that truck parked out there, you know, 24/7 is probably him.
Right. Well, what I was getting at, I suppose, is that with all the Zoom meetings and now there's Zoom fatigue is part of the vernacular, yeah, is that there's a recognition that you don't have to be at every dang meeting. Ooh. These things get taped. There are others that are there. And, yeah, maybe there's a meeting that's going on 3-4 times in a week, but do you really have to be there versus being able to have quiet time and focus on getting stuff done instead of just being there in attendance to a meeting?
Yeah. I just think I'm still not sure if Zoom is actually providing that, because I do agree Zoom fatigue definitely has crept into the vocabulary pretty quickly. You know, I think we're all going to have to adjust that. You know, it's hard right now. We feel that we need to be everywhere all the time for everyone because there's so many things we can't really do, right? We have to be there to try to just make people feel like, hey, you know, we're getting through this and it's really not a lot of fun, but we're heading in the right direction. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I'd like to say that you're right. So sometime next year, we should revamp or have this conversation again and go, so what's it like now?
Well, we will record this one and revisit it in June 2021. How's that? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, when you consider some of the different options that are out there now, you know, whether it's with the Zoom or with other forms, you guys have got your tablets and your laptops and you've got the computers at home and you got the cell phones and one of the things that it would really be cool if you could sit down with your dad and compare. Okay, when he was supervisor versus when you're supervisor, what?
Oh, yeah.
What was similar?
Sorry.
What would be different? I mean, and just or yeah, I mean, you can pick anybody from 30 or 40 years ago. What has changed? What are the stressors and the pressures that exist today that didn't then, and vice versa?
Yeah, well, and I guess, you know, because I do have a little bit of personal experience where I could do that. I almost spit my coffee out when you said that, so that, oh, wow, how it's changed. Yeah, so back then, you know, supervisors were considered part-time. And I think my dad actually was he was similar to a Rex, you know, because he'd go into the restaurant, cut the meat at 6 in the morning, go to the courthouse, go home, take a nap, go back to the restaurant for the evening. And he loved people. Yeah, so it's kind of funny when you mention that. I'm going, geez, I guess I kind of understand Rex's personality all of a sudden even more. But you know, for him, there's the reading was massive. Now, instead of the reading, we have the reading, but it, for me, it's even worse because of all the technology. I can't see on those little screens. It drives me nuts. I think there are probably more issues, very different issues, so maybe I shouldn't say that there's more. I think there's a different, the community expects a lot more because, remember, prior to the internet, people either just had to make phone calls or they sent letters. And so you get a letter, you respond to a letter. There was time in between the communications. And now the world, I think the biggest change is just the immediacy of everybody has to have everything now. And you feel bad if you don't get an email returned right away. And of course you return it, then you get one back. And, you know, it just, I think it just has a different pace. So I'm not sure so much if, you know, I'm sure a lot of people issues are the same. Obviously, cannabis is different, but there were zoning, there were just other issues. So I think the biggest thing would be just the pace of how information and communication is expected to be nearly immediate.
Well, I would suspect that there are some in your position and higher that, without staff jumping in, may not respond to emails as quickly or cluster them. You know, that's one of the time management things you hear about is don't return phone calls as soon as you can. Cluster them so that you're not in between projects and you're not losing time and effort and focus.
Yeah.
Just, you know, if you've got 10 to do, okay, then you return calls before, you know, 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning and from 4 until 5. That's when you return calls and don't expect otherwise. And that just becomes part of your process, and you're not attending meetings during those times. And, you know, just by kind of function clustering, you become a little bit more efficient. I wonder if you could do the same thing with emails and not have people hacked off at you.
You know, you can. I mean, right now I've just got a lot of emails. It's hard because there's no good answers. But, you know, I do that. I mean, I'll send myself. I had someone the other day that sends 11 emails within an hour. So, you know, I can cluster all those and forward them to myself at a time certain, right, a couple days later, because that, those issues are something I got to check a bunch of things out on. And you can do that, and they're absolutely right. What I'm finding is, even though I put in my calendar, I have a specified time to do email catch-up. With the Zoom, staff in the office makes, you know, people, the staff we have aren't like, you know, staff in a lot of counties where they actually have a staff person to do their scheduling and respond to emails, phone calls, et cetera. But ours is, you know, does a lot of scheduling for us, and it's really hard because right now, trying to get us all in one place at one time by Zoom is almost impossible. But I'm finding that the time that seems to be disappearing is what I have marked off to do my, you know, email, like you said. So I have to find a way to be really specific or figure out how time that I know that won't be taken up by some Zoom. So maybe that's now I've got to start getting up at, you know, doing my emails at 5:30 in the morning. And like, inefficiently, if anyone was a Zoom at 5:30, that'll definitely know, right?
Right, right. Or it's an East Coast meeting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thankfully, we don't have too many of those. But yeah. So it can be done, but I'm finding trying to do it now. I mean, there's easily 100 plus emails that come in a day. Rex, you know, well, he says he gets hundreds of phone calls during a day, and he might. You know, thankfully, I don't have that much of that call load, but. But yeah, it's going to take some seriously ratcheting down and thinking about that. And I'm hoping during the summer, you know, get a couple weekends and learn to unplug, because I don't do that very well. And I think that's when, because if we don't, we're going to drive ourselves into the ground.
Right. Well, why not let your phone die and leave the laptop at work?
Well, you know.
Okay, there you go. You know, here we are, guys. You know, and if the house is on fire, you're probably going to be able to tell that on all by yourself. So yeah, you're incommunicado.
Actually, yeah. I've been going up in the hills, and now for the first time ever, my cell phone does not work up there, which has actually generally freaked me out the couple days I've been up there. just to kind of get the quietness. I didn't mean for it to be that quiet. So, yeah, you can do that.
What is this? What are these crickets and this babbling noise that's going on from the creek? I don't get it. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass, full-time Supervisor Virginia Bass. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. So with some of the different information that's now coming out, that's crossing your desk, you got all these meetings, you got all these updates that are going on. What are you looking at for June? Obviously, we're seeing relaxation with some of the sheltering requirements that the state and the county have been putting into play. What else do you see that's out there? Is it just purely going to be budget month?
Budget's going to definitely probably be a big part of all government right now. I mean, we had a presentation. We're having two public hearings on the 15th, and then there's hopefully budget adoption on the 23rd. But what we're all kind of looking at is, I guess, what you might call a placeholder budget, because, you know, right now, I mean, counties, local government, special districts, you know, property tax and sales tax are the things that, you know, kind of keep you operating, and schools and a lot of other things, and nobody really knows what those dollars look like. You know, there's companies that do the forecasts, and right now I think we're just going to start getting the March data in, which was still not a full month. It was like a couple weeks. And so when we start getting like in the April data, I think we'll have, you know, we have to get better information on how badly we think we have been hit and how slowly things are coming back. Or how quickly are they coming back? So I think the budgets, at least in our case, you know, we will also have the first quarter review. We may have more frequent reviews, because when we start finding out more, or like we don't even know if we're really going to get reimbursed from the federal government for all the emergency response that has cost, I mean, untold, it's probably into the hundreds of thousands. It's crazy, right? So there's a lot of unknowns right now. So, yeah, if the budget is tight, you know, I think we have some, at this point, some wiggle room. We feel like we're in better shape than some others, but we all know that all it takes is one thing to go totally sideways, and then that's all at the table, you know. So other counties are talking about.
There are, you know, the gas tax is smaller, TOT tax is smaller, but certainly those things have been hugely impacted. The sales tax, unemployment, I know that a lot of that is through the state and through the feds, but just this entire thing, I can't imagine that there was, you know, why go through the process of having a budget if you know you're going to have to be revisiting it? Is it a state constitutional requirement, or does the state have the flexibility to bump it back a couple of months to really get a better lay of the land, so to speak?
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily the constitutional. There is a requirement of sorts. Most organizations have it, and to be honest, I'm not sure where the requirement comes from. And I think normally, like in other groups I've been in also, they'll do, you know, basically the standard budget at the time and just, yeah, I think if, I don't know if you can have an extension. I think what happens is you adopt it, and what it is the kind of extension you get is revamping it multiple times as the year goes forward. I mean, look at the state. you know, there was the governor comes out saying this is the budget, and then they come out in the May revise with what it really is going to look like, and this year it was tremendously different. But I think that's what we should start doing. We should come out with something in January and do our own May revise in the future.
Yeah,
we probably would call it. We would call that actually second quarter report.
Yeah. Well, can you do a monthly budget update and get that from the department heads and just say, okay, guys, we're going to now start tracking this trend on a monthly basis. We got to know because things are so volatile. I mean, obviously, it's going to be significantly off coming off the last 3 months. That's such a no-brainer. But if there's a significant increase once, let's say, July rolls around, well, you don't want to be making decisions based off of what was. You want to be basing that off as current as possible, which would be a monthly. And I know taxes aren't reported monthly. They're reported quarterly. But I would think that the department heads have, I mean, if they've been there more than a cycle or two, they've got a pretty good idea what's going on, and they can read the roadside signs and determine what is and what isn't the case. I mean, why not do something like that instead of having your Zoom meetings?
Well, I think they'll be, unfortunately, we won't get to be out of the meeting because that just doesn't ever, I don't think that'll ever happen. But yeah, that was actually mentioned because everything is in, you know, there is a way to run reports. But you kind of mentioned something else that, you know, is that, you know, I was thinking of the timing of things, like with the property tax and the, you know, state giving the, you know, deferral. And so that's the other thing, too, is, you know, it's really hard to tell. Like, in our case, the property taxes that came in, like, I think it was, like, 93% of the properties paid their taxes.
Well, that's pretty good.
Expected. However, the amount of money that we collected was minute compared to the money that is still out there because many of the larger property owners did not. Because they were given the opportunity not to, right? So you know, so when that comes in, is that going to, you know, all of a sudden give us a kind of a bump? You know, yeah, I have part of the treasurer on Bartholomew.
Right. Either a bump or a backfill, depending on how you want to perceive it.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's the other thing you mentioned, backfill. You keep like, oh, you're hitting all the right words, you know, with the state right now. They're planning, they're taking away all these like, realignment dollars, which basically it was in the past. The state gave counties responsibility to do things that the state used to do as supposedly a funding source. And what they may revise was taking away two of the funding sources, which to Humboldt County was going to be a loss of over $7 million for mental health services mostly and child support. You know, I mean, just like, wait a minute, you guys told us to do this. And anyways. We're hearing now that in the budget, and hopefully the governor may come back with a way to backfill, because if those dollars go away, we're going to lose help for the people who need it most, because there's a whole lot more people suffering with mental health concerns right now because of everything that's been going on.
KINS, anyways, news and information time. Yeah, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-25.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, one of the things, there's a couple of things that are on the horizon that I think are a little disturbing in the timing, I guess would be the simplest way to say it. The state has got its minimum.
That's a lot that hits
up. Yeah, well, these are two that crossed my plate yesterday. So it's just a 24-hour reference point. The state has got currently in place the minimum wage being increased to $15 an hour for most employment groups effective at the end of this calendar year.
Correct.
Are you hearing anything? Is CSAC doing anything? Is this going to go into effect, or is this going to be another cost to businesses and governments that are teetering in a lot of situations already because of the situation in the last couple of months that are going to have to somehow figure out a way to keep the doors open and have their cost increase by whatever the percentage might be?
Well, you know, I think CSAC probably tracks the stuff, but they're more, I think, interested, you know, they're kind of more focused on these other things that get put on county government that we keep trying to, you know, save ourselves from. But I was reading, this topic has come up recently, and I know it came up that I understand that a meeting. I was going to say, I think you might have been there, at least on the phone. And there is a provision that the governor put in, and if you read it in the labor code, I've actually got the paragraph where it says the conditions with which he can suspend it moving forward for a year. And so I can find out. I have been curious and haven't actually reached out the last 2 days yet to see what the conversations are and how that is going. Because I know it's a tough time. You know, it's not like taking back money, but not increasing the pay and you know, I haven't heard any inkling of what he plans to do, but it says he has to make some type of mention, I think, by September 1st, and then another one in December. Anyway, very specific, when you talk about poison pill, I guess that would be considered not the poison pill, more like the sleeping pill, I guess, in that legislation, that it would, like, make one suspension of 1 year where it wouldn't go up.
Right, The other thing is, I know that there are jurisdictions in the area that are looking at trying to pass additional sales tax. I know it's not called sales tax, but in effect, that's what it is. Do you think the timing is right for that to be considered also?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, most of the plans that were going into place to do that and the efforts happened pre-COVID. But they've already, you know, the money in many cases has probably already been sunk. And so, you know, I don't know how the public will receive those for sure. There could be competing, you know, who knows what else could be coming out too. There's things still going through the initiative process at the state level and to get on the ballot. And I would think it'd be really hard right now unless I don't know. You'd have to restructure something because right now people are going, yeah, I don't think I'll vote for that right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, food or taxes? I think I vote for food.
Yeah.
See, we start with food.
I don't know.
We start with food and we end with food. It's a good show. Thanks for coming by.
I'm hungry.
All right. Okay, go have breakfast. See you, everybody, tomorrow.
All right.